الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those who are or have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be Mothers Are Special. One of the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessed be upon him, he asked the Prophet the question about who deserves the best treatment. And so before I get into that, I want you all to understand that I'm going to say this, I hope that I'm correct, that each one of us, we have a mother. Each one of us have a mother and we have a father. Today, topic, I'm going to talk about the mother, and of course the fathers, they have their place too, and they certainly have their value and bring value to the family, but I'm focusing on today are the mothers, and mothers are in the special, and how special mothers are. I'm not going to cover everything special about mothers or moms. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I don't have enough time, or even on this tape. Probably even not enough take to talk about how special a mother is or our mothers are. But I'll just give you just a very brief synopsis, if you will, about mothers are special and why are they special. Again, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, one of his companions said to him, who deserves the best treatment? Or who should I provide with the best treatment, or deserving of the best treatment? And so he answered the question in this way. He said, Ummuka, thumma ummuka, thumma ummuka, thumma abuka, thumma atanaka, atanaka. And so what I said here in Arabic, I said, the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, and the people, and the question was asked, who deserved the best treatment, as I said before. And then he said, Umuka, thumma umuka, thumma umuka, thumma abuka, thumma atanaka, atanaka. And he said, your mother, again your mother, and again your mother. Then your father, then your nearest relatives, according to the order of nearness. So he said it three times pertaining to the mother. Ummuka, thumma ummuka, thumma ummuka, thumma abuka, thumma atanaka, atanaka, or atanaka. And so this is what he said. He said again, who deserved the best treatment or deserving the good treatment? And he instructed, he said, your mother. And then he said, your mother. And then the third time he said, your mother. Then he said, thumma. Then he said, abuka. Then he said, your father. And then your nearest relatives according to the order of nearness. And also it was mentioned regarding what should we do for our mothers. While they are alive, we're going to take care of them. We're going to treat them right. We're going to treat them good. They deserve the best treatment. We're talking about our mother. Now, our mothers, for example, they're dead. Some of us may have mothers that are dead that are listening to me. And still, you treat your mother in a good way even while she's in her grave. She gets benefit from you even while she is in her grave. So what I mean by that? It was Ibn Abbas, Allah be pleased with him, I reported, a woman came to the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, and said, Messenger of Allah, my mother has died, and there is due from her a fast of vow. Should I fast on her behalf? Thereupon he said, you see that if your mother had died in debt, you would have not been on her payment, or will you not pay on her behalf? She said, yes, of course, I would pay on her behalf. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, then observe fast on her behalf or on the behalf of your mother. So we see here, my mother's gone, my mother's dead, she was going to fast, or she even might even owe some fasting days from Ramadan, something like that. Or said, I'm going to do some voluntary fast, but she wasn't able to complete it because Allah took her soul. And then the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, well, you know, look, if she owed a debt, wouldn't you pay that debt? She had vowed that she's going to fast, so this is basically a debt, and so pay that debt. Go in and fast on her behalf. And then, of course, may your children, I'm adding this for myself, and may your children also fast on your behalf. If you also vow and say, I'm going to fast, but you don't live to do that fast. And that your children do the same thing. And that's it for you. And their children do the same thing for them. And their children do the same thing for them. And so, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that you started something that is good. And you're showing the kids this what you're supposed to do. My mother's dead. She says she's going to fast. I'm going to fast for her. Finish that fast off. Then perhaps your children see that, and then they may also, you die, and they may, and you say you're going to fast, and so they may fast on your behalf or give charity on your behalf. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. When we talk about charity, it was narrated also by Ibn Abbas. A man said to Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, my mother died. Will it benefit her if I gave in charity on her behalf? The Prophet, may peace be upon him, replied in the affirmative. The man said, I have a garden and I make you a witness that I gave it in charity on her behalf. So this is a very, very beautiful thing that this man did for his mother, and that he gave on her behalf, this charity on her behalf. For those of you who mother are alive, give charity now. Why not plant a tree for her now? And Allah takes her soul, she benefits from that while she alive and after she her demise. It could be a great benefit to her while she's in her grave, and she had the light in her grave from her nur, from Jannah. And that nur, that's light. And so all of a sudden her grave got even more light and more light. She looked around, it got brighter and brighter. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm laying here in my grave, but yet my grave is getting brighter and brighter. What's going on? What's going on is that this tree or this chair that is given on her behalf from her family members that are on this side of Barzakh, on this side of the wall of divide, if you will, and that they are the ones that are alive, that they continue to give on her behalf. So they get charity on her behalf, and it benefits her. And her gravesite, her grave gets lighter and lighter and brighter and brighter. They also, if they plant a tree for her, the birds take from that tree, eat from that tree. Someone sees some type of shade from that tree. So she benefits from all that while she's laying in her grave. And so, my beautiful students, I'm just advising you. You may have a mother that is dead. And so you want to say, well, how could I benefit her? What can I do? Okay, it's good to buy flowers for her. All right, that's fine. Whatever benefits flowers will do, I'm not taking anything away from flowers. But flowers are very temporary. They die pretty quickly. They just go away pretty quickly. Even as you water them, they have a short lifespan. But for a tree, they have a longer lifespan in this life and in the next life. And they could benefit so many in this life and in the next life. Sometimes trees, they could be around for hundreds of years, benefiting all those people for all that time. Or you can give, for example, you can give tzedakah. You can, for example, at those who are Muslim, you say, okay, I'm going to help build this mosque, this place of worship, the masjid. And so people go in there and they worship in that particular masjid. Or I'm going to give money on my mother's behalf to the masjid, and your mother's in her grave. She's going to benefit from that. You give it on her behalf. People who pray in there, they learn in there, have Juma, all the things they do inside and so on, the masjid, she's going to benefit greatly, greatly from that. If you pay for a rug in the masjid, that she will benefit all the people that are going to put their foreheads down on that rug, or sit on their rug and get some Islamic learning. So she's going to benefit from it. You don't stop helping your mother as she helped you grow and she nourished you from the time while you were in her womb, came out of her, and she continued to take care of you and provide for you and make sure that you're okay. So you too, at her old age, before she died, take care of her. Lower the wing of humility to your parents or to your mother. And then the other thing, when Allah takes her soul, then also while she's in her grave, you could be so beneficial to her. Show your love towards her and donate an educational place, an Islamic school. Donate to it. Whatever books, pencil, whatever it is that they use, tablets, whatever they use for education or paying the teachers, then your mother will benefit from it. And perhaps you also will benefit from it. I don't have to go on and on. You all get my point. To take care of her when a time when she cannot take care of herself. And again, his mother said, the man said, I want you to bear witness that I have a garden, and I make you witness that I give this garden and charity on my mother's behalf. He has his garden. Fruits, whatever growing out of that garden, vegetables, whatever, I'm giving this. Or, for example, I donate this well. There's a lot of organizations. You have Mercy USA, and you have, I believe, ICNA. They do that. And also Islamic Relief, various organizations, they do this all over the world. They establish wells, only $3,000, $5,000, not much. You and a few friends get together and buy one well. And people will be, and maybe buy on someone's behalf. And people benefit from that water for a lot of years. They benefit from the water. The people who live in the village, they benefited from the water. They don't have to go down to the river to get water. You have water right there in the middle of town, very conveniently located, and pump the water out into buckets or into bottles and then take it to their home for cooking, washing, or whatever they're going to do with it. Your mother or yourself would benefit greatly from it. So it's a lot of things you can do on behalf of your mother. Also, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, a woman came to the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, and said, Messenger of Allah, my mother has died, and there is due for her a fast, a vow. Should I fast on her behalf? Thereupon he said, you see that if your mother had died in debt, would it not have been paid on her behalf? She said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, then observe fast on behalf of your mother. So we got paying the debts, we got charity, we got fasting on behalf of your mother. So benefit your mother. If you never thought about it before, pray for her. Go to the grave and pray for her. Pray for her while you're there and making prayer, not necessarily at the grave. And then do something for her. Fast for your mother. Or you can give charity for your mother or pay a debt for your mother. Your mother gave you a lot. A lot she gave to you. You don't know how much of a sacrifice that your mother did for you so you can be clothed and that you can eat and that you have a roof over your head and a warm place to stay. And education, mother sacrificed a lot. She probably let her shoes have holes in it so that you could have a new pair of shoes to go to school. Or her clothing have holes in it so you have new clothing to go to school. Or to go wherever you're going to go. This is mom. Let me move on, my students. A man said to Allah's prophet, may peace be upon him, my mother died. Will it benefit her if I gave in charity on her behalf? The Prophet replied in the affirmative. The man said, I have a garden and I make you witness that I give this garden on her behalf. This is what I read earlier. I just wanted y'all to remind you of it. This particular thing, that this man had something. He had a garden. He gave a garden. You have a car, you want to give a car to a place of worship, and they donate the car to somebody else, or they sell the car, and then you say, I'm giving this car for benefit my mother. So the organization takes it in, they can sell it and use it for maintenance of the facility, or to pay someone, or to feed someone. So it's a great benefit, and you're doing it for your mother. Let me read one other thing, my beautiful students, and that is, a woman came to me. Meaning this was, he came to Aisha, who is the wife of the prophet. May peace and blessings be upon him. A woman came to me with two daughters. She was asking for food, but I did not have anything with me except a date, meaning like a kind of a fruit. So I gave it to her. And she divided it between her two daughters without eating any of it herself. Then she got up to leave, and the prophet, may peace be upon him, entered, and I informed him about her. So the prophet said, whoever is tested something from these daughters, and he or she passes the test, they will be a screen for them from the fire. This was these children were a test for this lady. This lady, she could have very well split the date into three pieces, three portions, one for one daughter, one for the other daughter, and a piece for her. But she did not do this. This mother, this lady, she split it in half and gave one half to the daughter, one daughter, and gave the other half to the other daughter, and didn't take anything for herself. Sometimes we know what the sacrifice of the mothers, and sometimes we don't know. We don't know at all. And I'm asking you all to give the various organizations that help people. You'll know how many mothers that you're helping by helping these organizations to help these individuals. Muslim Social Services Agency.org. You have also Mercy USA, IR or Islamic Relief USA. Also, ICNA, which is Islamic Circle of North America. All these organizations help individuals, help a lot of mothers to feed a lot of children. Some mothers have husbands, and some are widowed. But most of those mothers, they have children. And they will feed their children and take care of their children by your help or through your help. There was Ishmael, he was one of the prophets. His father Ibrahim had a wife Hagar, and he put him out to a desert area with a little bit of food, a little bit of drink, and then the angel came to them. And I don't want to go into the whole story, but either the angel dug up with their wings, or the baby dug up with their heels, Zamzam, or the water. You can read about Zamzam on your own, Zamzam. And she would basically run around finding water or getting something for her child to eat. She made those sacrifices for her child. This is what she would do for her baby to make sure her baby survives. Now, the story of Moses, and we all know the story. I'm going to give you the brief information about the story. Because the Pharaoh, he was going to kill the children, firstborn or whatever, particularly males. And so, and the reason for that, you can read that for yourself. And so he told his soldier to go and kill the males. And so Moses, Prophet Moses, mother's very concerned. What am I going to do? They're going to come and kill Moses, who was the oldest child. They're going to come and kill him. What do I do? And so Allah inspired her to put Moses in the basket and float him down the river. What mother would do that? A mother used to hesitate. Is he going to drown? Someone going to find him? Animal going to eat him up? All kind of things probably going through her mind and probably your mind as mothers of what's going to happen to my baby. But she felt that inspiration, put him in the basket, and then sail him down the water. And so what happened is that Asiya, which is one of the wife of Pharaoh, she didn't have any children. And so she found the baby. The baby Moses came to her. And so the Pharaoh did not kill Moses because she was just so in love with Moses. And what happened after that, Moses would not latch on to her. In other words, he did not latch on to her breast and drink from her breast. Because she was trying to breastfeed him. She tried all the different maids, helpers to feed this child. The child would not eat. So then the sister Moses heard about this, and so she said, I told the Pharaoh's wife, he said, I know someone that may be able to help you. And so she didn't reveal that was Moses' mother, but she said, basically said, okay, go get her. And so she went and told her mother what was going on with the child and who the child was. And so she went to the child and she went to the queen and said, you know, and the child immediately latched to her and suckled from her. And it was amazed by this. It would not latch on to anyone else but his mother. And so the Pharaoh's wife said, well, okay, well, what I do is that, okay, you stay here in the castle, in our home. We take care of you. Have to worry about eating anything like that. And all you gotta do is just take care of this child. And basically, she said, "No, I'm not gonna do that. I want to take him home. I'll take care of him at home." And so, what happened is, a long story short, is that Allah reunited Moses' mother with him. Not only that, she was paid by the Pharaoh's wife to take care of her own baby. Not only that, they also had guards guarding Moses at Moses' mother's house to make sure nothing happened to him. And so there again, Allah established that the mother reunited with her son. Inspired to put him in a basket, float him down a river, and then it ended up the child ended up in the most feared individual or person that had authority in the land, who built the house of Pharaoh. He was basically raised in Pharaoh's house, but he stayed basically with his mother. All the luxuries and all attached to it, he received that while he was staying and reunited with his mother. And so, also I'm saying to those who are moms, depend on Allah. Allah knows your situation. Allah does not place a burden on you too great that you can bear. Depend on Allah. Allah knows your child is hungry. Allah will make sure you and that child is going to be fed and taken care of. Don't have any doubt that Allah will not take care of you and take care of your child. We all know the story, and I only had a few more minutes. We all know the story about the woman who, two women claimed one child. And then they went to this learned, very learned person, to judge, okay, whose child is it? And each person is claiming the child. And so he said, okay, then I'm going to cut the child in half and give one half to you and one half to you. And so the biological mother said, no, don't do that. Give the child to this woman. She'd rather lose a child like that than the child is dead, becomes dead, or is killed because it was sliced in half. And then the wise man said, okay, you are truly the mother of the child, because you said to give this child to her, and no mother would want their child cut in half. So you are truly the mother of the child, and she ended up getting the whole child, and not just a portion of the child. That's a mother's love. That's a love. I'd rather give this child away than have you kill this child. I'm inspired. I'm going to go ahead and float this child down a river and put it in Allah's hands, that the child would be back into my care. So I want to also mention something to you, even for Maryam, which is the mother of Jesus, Isa, and how she was she went away from the people and had Jesus by the will of Allah, not touched by any man. And so the thing is, she was saying, well, how am I going to feed myself? How am I going to feed this child? And so Allah said, you're going to be at the trunk of this particular palm tree, kind of shake it, hit it or whatever, strike it, and then food will fall down. And then the food fell down, and she had water, and she had a way of taking care of the child. Like most moms, how am I going to take care of my child or my children? They don't say, how I'm going to take care of myself. They put their children first and then themselves second. It's like the woman who got the date, and she split the date in half. Half go to one child, half go to the other child, and she didn't eat anything at all, looking out for the child. And so all of us need to understand that and remember that. And don't treat our parents, particularly our mothers, in such an evil and a bad way. I understand sometimes in our hearts, that in that one section, our heart, that one piece of flesh, our heart, we may sometimes hate our mother and love our mother in that same section, in that same piece of flesh. But the thing is, in 9 times out of 10, the love for your mother supersedes the hate you have for your mother, in most cases. I'm not saying the absolute, but in most cases, your hate for your mother, whomever, it will be consumed by your love for your mother. Let me just say this one other thing, and then I will stop. And that is, everyone pretty much know what the World Cup is. We call it soccer in America. They call it football throughout the world. And so the last World Cup, it was held, I think, in Qatar, something like that. And so you had the sort of underdog, which Morocco, going against the other teams that were much stronger than that team. But they were able to beat many of those teams. And each time, what the several things that these brothers would do, I'm not saying others don't do it, that are Muslim on various soccer teams, or football team. But what these brothers did, I'm only using them for example, and may they continue doing, other teams continue to do that. What they did is what they was prepared, helped hold their hands up. Some people, they put their hands together and pray. For the Muslims, we have our palms up, both our palms up, and then we make dua, or D-U-A, and then we pray to Allah. And sometimes those brothers will also put their, if they win or lose, they put their faces down on the ground. So they have this love for Allah, and show their appreciation for Allah, and thanks to Allah. And then what other thing that they did, they ran to what? They ran to where the people were sitting. They ran to where the people, the fans were, and they did what? They kissed their mothers on the cheek, on the forehead, hugged her, whatever. That's what they did. Showing the love they have between themselves and their mothers. I'm not saying other Muslims and other football teams do not do the same thing all the things I mentioned, many of them do the same thing. But I'm just going to highlight them. Those particular men. This is what they did. They worship their Lord. They thank their Lord. They make prostration to their Lord, and then they kiss the foreheads, the cheeks, and hug their mothers. For they're thanking her for whatever reason. They thanked their mother. And so, my beautiful students, you too. Maybe it's time you need to kiss your mother, or pray for your mother, or pay a debt, or get charity for your mother. You need to do this. Why not? If you want more information about Islam, you go to whyislam.org. You can learn more about Islam at International Online University, American Open University, or embracerevert.org. You can also find more updated information when you go to muslimnetwork.tv and find out more information about the beautiful faith of Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.